Thank you. If you'd be seated, you can actually turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 there. We're going to be jumping around. We are topical this morning in our sermon. But wanted to speak with you today because it is almost the turn of the year for us. We're looking at a time as we begin our new fiscal year and the school year starts up, and we have many new things that are taking place, and we're looking at a time when some of you as parents are grieving with the bittersweet joys of college students that are going on and entering into that new dispensation of their lives, and some are moving into high school, and there's change. See some rejoicing on the back row back there. But change is always, it's a constant. It's something that we constantly deal with as God's people. And I wanted to look at some principles, some thoughts about change. Today we deal with it in our church, deal with it personally. And some change is good, some is bad, and some change can never happen. There are things about God, things about who we are, that just, it's just, there are some constants. And so I think it's good for us from time to time to review and consider some of those things that are constant, some of the things that need to change, and some of the things that we need to stand against change about. And all of those things are true in the Christian life. But from Ephesians 5, we have redeeming the time. And the passage reads in verses 16 and 17 that we are to redeem the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we've seen a lot of change these few years. Tomorrow will be the remembrance of a terrible time, 9/11. And one of the young men that was in my youth group was on the second tower on the 101st floor there, you know, 9/11 in 2001, and lost his life. So felt like I kind of raised him up, and so it's personal to me. But the days certainly are evil. We have looked at things that changes that have taken place in our country, changes that are manifested every day. We're aware that there's this constant movement that's outside of our control. And so, but there are principles here in Scripture for us as a church body and as individuals. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As we begin a new Awana year, we've had some great things that took place this year. We enjoyed the fiesta and saw some a project where God glorified himself, and we evangelized in a pretty massive way for our little church. Saw 120 people come to know Christ, children and some parents, and those are good changes. And so we look at things as we come upon this new year. The Awana program starts out, and we're going to have a number of those little kids that will be there that are brand new baby believers. That's exciting. And change is great. So, you know, some changes are good. Some are not so good. But change is something that we deal with. But something that's important for us. And the things that we need to consider are what it means to understand the will of the Lord. Having those constants there before us as God's people are necessary as a church and personally as well. So I want to ask the question this morning, how do we stay on course when things change? This month we come out with a new budget. We looked at things and, you know, got put those figures together, and that's just about ready for you. We'll put it out there. And Ron, have you already posted that outside? Okay, it will be posted soon. But we're looking at increases and in our budget for the year and different things that will be taking place. And there's change. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen this year. We're going to look at new things, and it's exciting. And it's a little bit scary at times as well when you look at that budget and look at different things that are involved in what change, what's involved in growth. But we want to constantly bring ourselves back to how to stay on course when things change. All right, so here's our outline. There's two points that I'd like to make this morning. One is that we're to understand the will of the Lord. We understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the constant that in the midst of change, we as God's people need to keep before us. And secondly, we're not to lose that has been characteristic of Grace Bible Church here, that we're to equip the saints, that we're constantly growing in knowledge of God, that we're constantly growing in knowledge of His Word, that we're constantly growing in our passion for His Word and for Him. To increase in the knowledge of God is essential for God's people. It's needful for us. It's the type of change that is necessary, that is essential for growth. And as we saw some of our young people go off to college these past few weeks and that kind of thing, and that process of growth, there's an excitement about it. And so we want to consider some of these points. Let's look at understanding what the will of the Lord is. Just a few things here that we would want to consider. From Proverbs, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment, and do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you and an ornament of grace to your neck. So understanding God's will, having knowledge of His Word, is essential to us. So in this understanding of God's will is the realities that we need to have a passion for God's glory. Because God's will and God's glory are just, they're like this. They're one and the same. And so there are many principles from Scripture that we can consider and think about when we think of in terms of the glory of God. But the glory of God needs to be our passion. It needs to be your passion. It needs to be the passion and the motivating factor of who we are at Grace Bible Church. Westminster Confession, and this is Westminster Abbey there, by the way, in the background, but in 1647, they declared that man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That should be characteristic of God's people. It should be our chief and highest end to pursue the glory of God as Grace Bible Church. We should set it first and foremost in our minds. The enjoyment of God should be characteristic of God's people. There should be smiles on our faces as we consider the privilege that we have to enter into the Holy of Holies. You know, the veil has been rent. We as God's people can come into His presence boldly before the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we have been given promises, all things that pertain to life and godliness, given to us in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful privilege and what joy we should have as we enjoy God's presence. And as we celebrated communion this morning, there's a celebration of the fellowship that we have, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is in His people, and which interacts within us, motivates us, and moves us toward loving one another. Look up at Ephesians chapter 5 there in verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. God's people celebrate His glory in loving one another, in fellowship, a partaking of life together. And so the glory of God is to be our passion. Revelation 4:11 says, here's some passages of Scripture. You might want to jot these down. There's actually three points under the understanding the will of the Lord. And that first one is that the glory of God must be our passion. And here are some verses. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and for and by your will they exist and were created. And so we see that here God's worth in proclaiming the passion for His glory is actually a proclamation. It is a testimony of the worth of God. And that's the privilege that we have as God's people, to proclaim His greatness. And everything that we do in the midst of all the change should be directed and focused upon proclaiming God's worth and proclaiming it to our community, finding ways that we speak of the glory of Christ. And so that was the point and the focus of our fiesta this year, as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we forced the gospel into our community in a vital and life-giving way. We were saying, worthy are you, O Lord. You're worthy of our time and our efforts, and you're worthy of the proclamation of the truth of the gospel. And so it's good for us that we had the joy of that labor and the joy of seeing good change take place for the glory of God and to proclaim His worthiness. Matthew 5:16 says that we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But we need to understand that good works and glorifying our Father in heaven are directly related. They're directly connected. There's no glorifying our Father. There's no passion for His glory if there's not these good works. Okay, and good works are confusing sometimes because we often put the cart before the horse. Taking confidence in human flesh, we pursue good works to win God's favor or in some way to merit His blessing. But God has not designed it as such. Good works flow from our relationship with Him. And good works come because we have spent time in His presence, because we have gone by faith into the Holy of Holies, and there boldly before the throne of grace. And by faith, we have had time and fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so His life exudes from us. It flows out of His people. As we relate to one another, as we love one another, as we speak grace to one another by His Word. And so, in so doing, in that relationship that we have in Christ, in the fellowship that we have with Him, there is a overflow. And that's why Jesus spoke of it in John 15 as fruit. It is the fruit of our lives. It's the fruit of His life within us as the Holy Spirit lives in and through us, and the fruit of who He is, that love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, those things flow from our lives toward one another and before God. Our good works glorify Him because they're recognized as being divine. They're recognized as coming from the Holy Spirit, from the power of God. It's to His glory that these things are revealed. And so we sang this morning about throwing down our crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ. We were throwing down or casting down our crowns before Him, acknowledging that to Him goes all the glory. And so men will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In light of these things, it's good to remember that there's bad change. WorldNet Daily, I've been keeping up, and probably many of you have these last few days, this last few weeks, with there are four bills that came up in the California legislature, and this series of legislative proposals target free speech and thought. And so a number of the Christian groups have risen up, and we need to, as believers, be aware that there's bad change. There are things that that can take place, that we need to plant our feet, take a stand, and live, not only live righteously, but sometimes to take action. And we've seen the effects of some of these things in the past. You may remember Roe versus Wade, 1972. I can still remember in my youth group in Houston, there was a young man that they had an argument about the debates on abortion. He was in his high school class those years, and he said, he hit his hand on the desk. He says, "I don't care what you say." He says, "Abortion is wrong." He says, "I was born in 1971. If I had, if my mother had gotten pregnant in 1972, I wouldn't be here." Okay? He was given up for adoption, and he slammed home the point. But the point I would make this morning is that one judicial decision had an incredible impact upon our country. And so it is here with this legislation in California. Goes on to say that the hearts and minds of 6.5 million school children are on the line. That's in California. The pro-family life group has, and it's more than that actually, has called a news conference today to protest a series of bills approved by the legislature that would turn the California public school system into sexual indoctrination centers. Okay? The bills will turn California schools into sexual indoctrination centers that mess with the children's minds behind their parents' back. And this is Randy Thomason, one of the Christian groups there in California. And Dobson, who founded Focus on the Family more than two decades ago, said if those proposals become law, the California legislature will deliver the state's children straight into the arms of the homosexual activist community. The bills would force California public schools to change curricula and policies to promote transsexuality, bisexuality, and homosexuality to children as young as kindergarten without their parents' permission. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant about change and aware. The governor already has signed one bill that would require private schools, including Christian colleges and others, to promote homosexuality if any of their students receive state grants. Basically, there is law and legislation that has been signed into effect that a Christian college that stands on the principles of God's Word can have removed from their campus any state grants. So already legislation has been signed and put into effect. Many of you are aware that one of the bills was vetoed by the governor this past week, the last couple of days. And so it's an ongoing battle against bad change, a battle that sometimes that we as God's people need to stand up and take some action, to step forward in these times. You say, well, we're here in Texas, what can we do? We can pray. But we need to be aware that legislation that was signed determined in Texas in Roe versus Wade affected everybody. And the same thing in California as these bills and as this legislation comes into effect. It affects us as God's people, so we need to be vigilant and prayerful. Okay? So what do we do? What do we think? I always go to Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh and the Lord shall have them in derision. I like to think that we as God's people, in some way, that we can meditate upon the sovereignty of God and upon the reality of this ongoing struggle of rebellion. Because notice what's taking place here. These rulers take counsel, and they take counsel to break their bands asunder and cast their cords away from us. Okay? So what we're looking at is just old rebellion here, isn't it? Same thing in California as what David's speaking of in Psalms here. Man always wants to break God's bands, his cords, the parameters of his word, the truth that is there, and cast them away so that man can do what man wants to do. That's the nature of the rebellion. That's the battle, that's the struggle that we're involved in as God's people. And so when he saved us, when he redeemed us, when he delivered us, and when he gave to each one of us this wonderful and precious gift of redeeming the time because the days are evil, it's in light of this constant struggle or battle or conflict that is involved in man's rebellion against God. Man's desire to be free, to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. Okay? That's the bottom line attitude and heart that is behind this. But I like to think that we as God's people can realize that God is laughing at us. And the worst thing that happens is that God says, okay, this is, you want this, this is what you get. And then we find ourselves trapped in bondage to our own desires, to our own goals, to our own purposes. And so our battle, our struggle is with this personally in our own personal lives and culturally as well. So, okay, secondly, the glory of God must be our goal. The glory of God should be our passion, is our first point. And then secondly, there under understanding the will of the Lord is that the glory of God must be our goal. Okay, those are the things that we can't lose sight of. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We must keep the glory of God first and foremost, whatever we do to his glory. It must be our goal. And so as we turn the year here as a church body and look forward to change, look forward to things that will most definitely unfold, keeping on track involves doing whatever we do to the ultimate glory of God. John 17:4, the Lord Jesus said, I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work that thou hast given me to do. Now there's a point to be made here as we glorify God, and I think that Jesus gave us the standard, the pattern here, and certainly wouldn't put ourselves in the place of glorifying our Heavenly Father and the manner in which our Lord Jesus did as he sacrificially atoned for our sins. But there's a very real sense in which you, as God's people, you are filling the purposes of Jesus Christ. And so we glorify him by accomplishing the work, knowing the Father's will, accomplishing the Father's work that he has given for us to do. And so we glorify God by our keeping our focus upon that work that is to be accomplished. And he has allotted to each one of you that time. Okay? John 4:34, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples as he was teaching and instructing them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And here we see the Lord Jesus in his passion for the glory of his Father, he feeds upon the will of the Father. And so if we're to stay on course and our focus is to stay straight, then we're to be like the Lord Jesus, feeding upon the will of the Father, knowing his will, feeding upon it, finding life there by completing the work that he lays out for us as his people. So it's a wonderful thing. There's good change. As we pursue God's will, we can no doubt experience the goodness of change that is intended by our Lord and God. And so there's good change for us to enjoy as God's people. Thirdly, the glory of God must be our glue. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Okay? glory of God should be always before us as His people. It's something that in every, and I do believe that there's a labor, there's work, there are projects to do for every church body, for every local church. And so as we engage in those things for the glory of God, there should be this unity of spirit through the bond of peace that we have with one another. And we're to make every effort, the Scripture says, to keep that. And so the nature of a church body is so much different from like a business or any of those types of things. You see, because a church body is an organism, isn't it? And so that organism, as it functions, Paul even uses the illustration that there's the hand and the foot and the eyes and the mouth and these different parts of the body that function and work together in unity for the glory of God. And that unity is essential for the ongoing work of God. And it is worked through the indwelling Spirit as He communicates gifts to His people. You see, each one of you have a gift that God has given to you that is to be worked within the body. It's to fitly joined. And in His sovereignty has put us together in the uniqueness that God has put us together as the body of Christ at Grace Bible Church. And that unity is the function, works the function of God's purposes, His will, ultimately to His glory. And so that glory of God becomes our glue in the unity of Christ, in the unity of His Spirit, in the bond of peace that we have with one another in fellowship. And so we want to keep the glory of God, the unity of the body, and guard it and hold it as precious, understanding that we're not a business here, that we're not to be about those things that would, the mindset of the secular mindset of a business. The body of Christ is a body. It functions together in relationship. And so there are essential things that are different. Romans 15, 5 and 6, that says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that awesome? Think about it. We as God's people, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, with one mind and one mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ being our mind, and with one mouth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, are glorifying the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an incredible calling that God has given to us as His people. The Holy Spirit interacting with us as we're forgiving one another and as we love one another, even as Christ gave up Himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God. We have this incredible relationship in Jesus Christ that is an amazing thing that gives glory to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Okay, in light of these things, in light of the passion for the glory of God, in light of the having the glory of God as our glue, it holding us together in unity, and as our goal as God's people, there is the realities of that which should never change. And that one constant that should be with us is the glory of God. It's our greatest pursuit. It is what is essential for us to move forward in our life, in the life of this body in Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. He's the Almighty. He never changes. Isn't it great? He's the one constant. The legislation may change. Our freedoms may change in this country. But the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, He's unchanging. We can always rely upon Him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 says. And then Psalm 103 says that the mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. You know what that means? They don't change. They're for always. God's mercy to you is for always and forever. His love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness to those to the next generations. We pass it on. The love of God, the mercies of God, which are from everlasting to everlasting. The heavens declare the glory of God, and we as people do as well. 1 Samuel 15:29, also the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind.